girls, when I was a little girl, you know, did things like play jacks and hopscotch, jump rope, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure they don't do it anymore. But it would have meant that, you know, if women were running the world, that when women my age got to that age, they'd be like professional jacks. You know, I mean, it's just like, and if you say, like, you know, jacks or hopscotch, they seem silly to men, but they're games. These are games. A football game is a game. It's a game.
Isn't it nice to see the city so calm and...
The city is calm because there's no one in it. I mean, New York City this quiet, something happened. You know, I always remember on September 11th how quiet the city was. You know, I mean, after, you know, if you didn't live right there, you know. The only other time I heard New York City that quiet, and I mean, I lived in Midtown, it was never quiet, was when they were about to announce the O.J. Simpson verdict. Mm. The entire city apparently was watching television, and the entire city went dead silent until they announced the verdict.
One of the other people who was born in July is the infamous O.J. Simpson.
A lot of fun, not, man. Not he Bart killed. Simpson. He killed.
I love that show, The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
That's
well,
great.
In recognition of O.J.'s birth, I would like to present a poem, O.J. Obviously jealous old jock. Overly juiced.
You can't squeeze any sense out of that limey. He's juiced.
That's right, Chief. The more juice, the better.
Not in my country club.
This electrician is in more danger than he could possibly know. You see, each time the tube is used, he is drawn closer, ever closer, into the juicy jaws of fate.
Off hours junkie. Ornery. Jazzed.
Overheard jabbering. Outside, June.
Ominous jawing, offensive jamming.
Uh-oh, jeopardy.
Overpowering jabs, on target, jagged, one-on-one.
Just overkill, jeez.
Odious justification.
Obscene Jezebel, Occidental Jew.
Obituaries,
joint.
Odd joyride, overexposed journey.
Outlawed, jacketed, obedient jailbird.
Oriental judge.
Ordinary jury.
Only jerks.
Oscillating jurors.
Obdurate Jeanette.
Outrageous jargon. Overtime jumbo.
Objection.
Justified.
Oath sworn Joneses.
Obfuscating jesters.
Obtuse jousters.
Obsequious jugglers.
Others, jackasses. Obese jawmen. Officer Judas.
O.J. Jamboree.
Overwrought journal.
Overrated jackals.
Option, junction.
Off.
Jail.
Overlooked jurisprudence.
Our justifications outweigh judgment.
Justice.
Overruled.
OJ's out.
Jesus.
Ouch.
Joke.
And Reggie Miller in an animated discussion with Spike Lee, who is an ardent Knicks fan and has a courtside seat. I think Spike has him revved up. Spike is appealing to the official Dan Crawford. I don't think that Spike realizes he's not in the game.
What about Spike Lee?
Spike who?
We will see you on Friday.
All right.
All right. Good luck to you.
You like sports?
I do not like sports.
So let me.
In fact, I would have to say. I hate sports.
You hate sports. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Kobe or LeBron?
The only reason I know who these people are is because I have a very close friend who loves sports. Otherwise, I might not know either one. But I have no preference between them.
New York Giants, New York Jets.
No preference. I have no sports
Rangers,
preference.
Rangers, Islanders, or the Devils?
Believe me when I tell you that I hate sports.
So what do you do when it's Super Bowl, when it's Super Bowl day?
It's a very good day to go to a restaurant. Okay? First of all, things like theaters where the New York City Ballet performs, or the Opera House, or what used to be called Philharmonic Hall.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that are important to the city, even if you don't go. You know, there's this idea now that this should only be supported by the people who use it. There's no idea like this about, say, football stadiums. Okay, football stadiums, which let me assure you, if you ever hear I'm in a football stadium, you can just imagine they're rounding people up and they put me in a football stadium with a gun to my head because otherwise I'm not in a football stadium. Football stadiums, you know, are routinely paid for by people who live in the city, by which I mean these huge tax abatements. And yes, we'll give you money because we, they'll say, Don't we want to have a football team? Not me. I don't want a football team. I don't want to have one in high school. I don't want one now. But I certainly don't want to pay for a football team. No, I don't want to pay for a football team.
Why do you hate sports?
You know, to me this seems like a kind of appropriate thing for, like, a seven-year-old child. You know?
Oh, wait a minute. Right? So if you're an adult, then you do not paint your face and wear a jersey and all that stuff?
The face paint, that's really attractive.
Oh, I don't do that.
Here's the thing, I'm always shocked. You see these people in the street, they're screaming, and what they're screaming is, we won, we won. And I'm always thinking, who's we? They won, you lay on the sofa drinking beer, okay?
But that's the great thing about sports, you identify with the team.
Yeah, which is a business. Do you never see people in the street going, yay, Coke won, Pepsi lost? How they got you to do this, I'd like to know that.
You hate sports.
Yes, but the reason sports are so central is because men are in charge. Okay? That is the reason. So
men in charge of the world.
Well, the world. That is correct. And so because they love sports, let me ask, if women were in charge of the world, do you think there would be professional hopscotch? I once said at a dinner party, when all these guys, who are all artists, and all very well-known artists, they were talking about baseball, and I said, I don't understand something. Does every man alive, did every man alive think when they were a kid they were going to be a professional baseball player? And this guy said, every man I would like did.
The thrill of death, the agony of competition. Your DNA sports web is on the air. Every week another exciting interspecies athletic contest as man continues to struggle for supremacy over our ever-contracting Earth.
Tonight, from Hedah, California, the final championship of the winter baseball season. We're in the middle of a hard-fought game here. I'm Bill Blunk, and my colleague with the familiar pitch, I know he's thrown us all a lot of curves on TV.
Thanks, Bill. I guess I'll never forgive myself for endorsing them Austrian self-sharpening razorbacks.
It was like having a little Arkansas chainsaw running around the house, Bob.
They're cute, but they're just too dangerous.
Well, anyway, here he is, a new contender for baseball's Hall of Fame, Bucklin' Bob Baseline.
Well, Bill, what about our beloved Crows tonight?
Fantastic.
I talked with their coach, Caleb Corvus, in the cage, and he says he can't let those boys go without sleep much longer. Well, Coach Anelli, now, tough Tony, he had to admit to the fact during the break that the Locusts were dead
sir,
on their feet.
Excuse me, Mr. Buns.
Mr. Burns.
Yeah, that's right, sir. Well, the chief guesses is how this press pass of yours is okay. If, yeah, General Lincoln had another one of them President Grants in his back pocket, you know what, are you smoking that?
No, that's out, Constable. Okay, all right, sure. It's all in a day's expense account.
There you go. Sir. Yeah, that's right. See, you were listening to the local the boys there.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, y'all listen to this sport, sir. We are very big on around here. The Crows there, fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Local boys, you know. Well, listen, you better keep your windows rolled up if you're heading along here because, frankly, sir, I think you might be taking your life in your hands. There's somebody out there, Marlon Brando or some crazy Indian who's just using the interstate for a shoot-up gallery, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Well, so long. Good luck.
All right, wait. My pass. Can I have my pass back?
Wow. Right, sir. Here you are. I'm sorry about that gum on your pitcher there. Okay, you just stay in the left-hand lane there after the overpass.
Okay. Merry Christmas, Deputy.
Yeah, right on, sir.
He gets a jump on him.
For a Canadian, the outfield, Felix at left, Lupus at center field, and
all the way from the Imperial Valley, hear that Oriental sensation, Mr. Discipline, Porco Suida.
Only you can pronounce that,
I'm
Bob.
I'm the guy with the press
This is the
pass.
High voice of Low Desert KPIG, big radio, 7 meter in all the Hillmouth Valley. Back to the action in just a moment.
You come from a different era. Today, women want to play sports, and women are playing all types of sports, and they want to play.
I know. This is one of the reasons I'm glad I'm not a girl now.
Why?
Because when I was in school, girls didn't have to play football. Okay, girls didn't have to play sports, and that was the upside of being a girl. Okay, so girls have to.
It's not they have to. They want to play.
Yes, well, we did not. Okay, we did not want to, and we did not have
to. And the world has evolved.
Yes, in that way. I would prefer there be more women in Congress and fewer playing football, but many things that people do, especially now on so-called vacations.
Yeah.
Are things that they used to make people do if you're a prisoner of war.
Bob Hind here, and today we have another amazing voyage on the Golden Hind. Hello, I'm Bob Hind. You know, hindsight is golden. Last week, when Heinz and Golda Klutschifter took us back 1,000 years to old Guadalajara, it was a journey which proved that the Aztecs invented the vacation. So, when you're planning your next vacation, get behind the Bob Hind Overnight Speed Tour. Fly by night and sleep all day in the hot Chocolatl Springs. You know, Sundays was invented down there, making it the vacationer's paradise. Well, here's a pair of familiar adventurers. Let's say hello to Buzz and Bunny Kromhunger.
Hello.
Buzz, how is your lovely boy, Buddy?
Oh, he's in medical school for a few weeks in Mexico, Bob.
And let's see what films you have brought back of your latest castaway cruise.
Well, Bob, here we are on the screen now, serene and a little bit out of touch with reality as we wave the final goodbyes and cast away from the singles dock there at lovely Rancho Malario Clowndominiums.
Goodbye.
And head down the runny old Chili Colorado River.
Look at that moss.
Oh, it's so thick and blue and soft like a tongue.
Who are these people?
Oh, these are the mosses.
She's ultra attractive.
Certainly.
And he's the very sharp, tall Jewish gentleman. There he is.
Uh-huh. And these are the rappers.
Oh, they look rough.
Oh, they are. Bunny and Sunny Rabbit.
They're grand.
Well, we're back on the river now, and pretty soon you'll be seeing the dangerous part.
That's it.
Certainly appeared dangerous. Oh, what are these off in the desert?
These are the buttes.
Those humps? Those are the mounds, Paul and Patty.
Oh, she's ultra attractive.
Oh, that blood-red hair and white skin made her the envy of all the German missionaries around.
I see what you mean. Some. Now, what are these?
Well, these are the aliens we told you about.
Yeah, the sandbar coming up is one of their typical landing sites, Bob.
You see that dehydrated horse?
Yeah, they do that.
And they love moss.
Oh, here, he wants me to eat some of it.
He thinks that we eat moss.
I'm pretending to eat it now, see with my hands, to make him happy.
That's very nice.
It tastes awful, Bob.
Well, that's too bad.
Oh, look here. We're trying to give the guy some milk, but he doesn't seem to know what it is.
But they sure know where it comes from.
Uh-oh. Look at it. They're coming towards
They're coming towards you now.
Oh. Here we are, waking up in the spaceship.
Yeah, I don't know who took these pictures, Buzz.
See, we don't really remember too much of this part.
It's kind
of
strange in here with the floating
heads. Like a dream.
That looks like a pair of women's shoes.
I thought they were washing you down here.
Oh, here we are now, Bob. Out of the spaceship, down healthy in the alien village. And this is actually in our own state of Arizona. They've been living like Indians there peacefully since 1949.
And most of them have never seen a human being.
Well, some of the young ones go to the movies and hooker, and that old man there says he's been to Chicago.
There he is. You can tell. You see he's saluting us?
Yes. What is this frenzied dance, Bunny?
Well, Bob, they do that to make themselves dizzy and work up big appetite.
The alien government staged these dances for us.
Mm, who's that playing the piano?
That's the chief.
Well, they all play the piano just beautifully, too. Mm.
What are they doing now, Buzzy?
Well, actually, they're symbolically asking me to dance.
And here, symbolically, that old chief is stripping her clothes off.
Well, you're really dancing up a storm, Buzzy.
And here it comes.
Oh. And they insisted now, see, that Bunny join in.
Slipping.
See, I'm dancing there, and the liquid rain is soaking into my body like little tongues.
Yes. Is this beating and clubbing a part of the dance? Yeah.
Well, yes and no, Bob.
I don't remember. They got me right away.
And here they are, bringing all of us back to life.
Oh, we're good as new, and as you can see, we've been fully accepted into the alien community.
Well, that is very, very interesting.
Well,
so actually, you are both aliens right now.
Sure,
yes, we were changed forever by that strange ritual from so far away.
And yet, so near, Bob. Yes.
Well, thank you, Buddy and Buddy Crumhunger.
Thank you.
And say hello to your boy, Buzz.
No.
I didn't know he was old enough to be in medical school.
Buddy.
They just run the credits. Just keep talking. They run the credits over.
Oh,
this
is that
part.
It? That's
our microphones are not on.
You ever been to the Piss Fest, Bob?
There it is. Human beings turned into aliens. Now, these aren't occult kooks. I know these people. They're my neighbors. They've lived in this trailer park since 1949. And suddenly, Art Holflaffer says they've been altered. Well, is this it? The end of civilization?
I'm reading all the time, you see, like in the Times travel section, like,
climbing,
here's a vacation
jumping.
You can go, where you can, like, climb, like, a mountain tied up with other people, you know, when you're on top of the mountain. Then when you're there, you can jump off, and this is a vacation that costs 15 grand a person. And I think, This really, to me, it looks like the Bataan Death March. It's like, at the end of the Bataan Death March, if anyone was alive, did they say, and by the way, you owe me 15 grand because that was a great experience, right? Like, I think, like, why do people do these things? Do people want to challenge themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and this is a big thing that people say all the time. I want to challenge myself. These challenges are fake. Climbing a mountain is a fake challenge. You know, you don't have to climb a mountain. Okay? There are many things that people have to do and should do that they don't do because they're scared to do or they're hard to do or they're bad at it. Those are challenges. A challenge is something you have to do, not something you make up. You know, like people do all these kind of what used to be called extreme things. Now many people participate in them. I wanted to challenge myself, and I always think, what kind of life do you have? I find real life challenging enough. I'm telling you something. If I get to the dry cleaners without having a huge fight, you know, and even get the clothes there and get them back without, like, you know, yelling, I'm going to sue you, you know, or having someone threaten me, that's challenge enough.
Yeah,
I always think, like, really, real life has always been challenging enough to me. I do not need to seek out these completely fantastical challenges. I have a tremendous fear of being physically hurt. And I always have. So I avoid activities where there's a very high chance of being physically hurt, which is any activity that requires a helmet.
A helmet.
Okay.
Now they're all in there at the pump.
Oh, belly up and put them down. I'm Chump Threads, and I'm coming up at you with Sports in Your Shorts. Lately, I've been getting weep-eyed woosgrams and punk-ass calls from fans who are bummed by the blood on the ice. They say they're way gross by the broken bones on the boards, and the poor babies are boffing over the twisted bodies in the bowls. Hey, you don't want to see it? Get yourself blinded.
You're the man, Chump.
Yeah, I am the man, and here's my pick of the day. Don't bet the pros, they're cons, and the colleges, they're goons on the take. Put your money on junior high soccer.
You're the man, Chump.
The Georgex Middle School Fruit Bats are home to the St. Stool Sand Dabs. The bats are totally pumped. They're going to punk them and pork them. The Sand Dabs are bacon. The Fruit Boys are going to have their Elvis Day. The bats by 30 goals. I'm Chump Threads, and I'm out.
The Chump has left the building.
Radio Now.
If it's not happening now, when did it happen?
Well, the boys have pitched the tents, and they're preparing to do some fishing. Boating, fishing, swimming, and every other kind of water sport are open to all campers. And here, at least, a wife's place need not be at home.
There's a place called Lake Powell. It's huge. It's an artificial lake. And the lake was stocked with millions of fish so that people could fish. Apparently, this is where many people went for an experience of nature.
Well, welcome back to Fishing for Schnuck. And we're out in the same boat as usual, me and my same old buddies, under a beautiful full moon out here on Lake Congaroo. It's a beautiful night.
Beautiful night. Beautiful night.
And we're fishing for schnuck with live spit beetles.
Wait a minute. I got a bite.
Oh, you got something there?
Ow!
Frighten
me. Come on,
beautiful,
bring it in.
Beautiful.
It's breaking the water. What the hell is that? It's like a giant iron shrimp with a...
No, wait a minute. A
big old postage stamp on it.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it. It's the old Thai Food Mary sign, you know, from that place that...
Slaughter Square.
Yeah.
Well, boys, we could be lucky. We must be right over the old mall.
Lucky?
So, you know, well, the schnuck lack cover, so we could get lucky.
Well, tell me, what do they feed on these schnuck lack?
The mayor.
Maybe that doctor guy.
No, he's poisoned all the way through.
Yeah, it's probably the developer.
Oh, could be the coach.
No, hey, you remember we got one of his shoes
right.
Yesterday?
Weighed a ton.
It's under 18 inches, though.
Had to throw it back.
Yeah.
Them old boys must be pretty big by now.
Big.
Big.
Wait a minute. I think I got something here.
Yes,
sir.
I'm bringing
it up. What's that? It's like a dead squirrel.
Oh, no. No. I've been to New York. That's somebody's hairpiece.
Oh,
throw it out. Okay.
Let it live.
What? Yeah. We'll catch you again when you're bigger, little buddy.
Bye-bye. Oh, I'm snagged. I think I'm snagged on something here.
Oh,
my God. Look down there in the water. It's a double mask. It's going to pull me in, boys.
Cut the line.
That was close.
That was close.
Fellas,
I got me a real fish this time.
I don't think so. Bring her up. Now.
Now, there's a beautiful miniature lake snook.
Beautiful fish. Nice eyes. Yeah. Beautiful. You know, you want fish. The big ones, you got to raise them at home.
Yeah.
Well, heck, you can make $300 to $500 a month for no darn work at all.
Is that right?
Grow snook in your toilet at night.
Well, no wonder flush culture is growing by leaps and bounds.
You know, you can have all the benefits of commercial snook farming right there in the privacy of your own bathroom.
All over the world, boys, the demand for toilet-raised fish is growing.
Now ask yourself this question. Why am I wasting my expensive toilet during hours and hours of darkness while it's not being used?
That's right. You mean to tell me that you can use that useless toilet downtime to work for you?
And look, boys, here's what you could use. There's a kit right here in the bottom of this here boat.
Well, darn, let's open her up. What does this say? Snook spawn. What's that there?
Is that a thermometer?
Thermometer, and here's a net. Well, what the heck do you need a net for? You got the snook spawn right there.
You don't use it on snook, boys. It keeps your hair out of the toilet.
They thought of everything. What's the matter with you?
Got me caught on the snook hook.
Get out of your thumb there. Here, just cover it up with some of this gaffer's tape.
They use that to make movies. I've seen them do
really?
It.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, let's see here. Here's a bumble sticker.
Yeah.
Says, grow local. Sell local.
Sell local.
Worst to live by.
Yeah.
Hey, boys.
Yeah, what's that?
I see a water spout over there.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, they always know where the good fishing is.
Well,
that's what they say.
Get on over there.
Get to the oars.
Start pulling, boys.
What's that? So I went there, and I was on this houseboat that this guy got. In order to fish there, you have to get a fishing license. So you have to go to this giant store in order to get the fishing license. I had to show my driver's license. So the woman, who looked at first to me like a normal human being, asked for my driver's license, which at that time, New York State driver's license did not have photographs on them. But that was common in the West, but we didn't have them yet on the driver's license. So I handed her my license. She looked at it, she looked at me, and she said, "What's the matter? You don't have photographs on your license in New York?" I was really shocked. I said, "No." She said, "Why not?" I said, "Because we can read." So I remember this very vividly. So we now have photographs, but we don't need them because we can still read.
The six fastest sprinters of the world are getting ready. Owens, America. Grossmeyer, Germany. And Metcalf of America. Owens is ahead. Strandberg and Borschmeyer fighting. Ozendorf challenges Rykov. Metcalf comes up. But Owens wins in 10.3.
1936 Olympics. Jesse Owens wins how many gold medals? And Hitler refuses to shake his hand. As far as African Americans in this country, a lot of the breakthroughs we've done in this country as African Americans have been through sports first. You go through Jack Johnson, Joe Louis, Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali. The world would not be the place it is today if there wasn't Muhammad Ali. I mean, he had his stuff, shit was way bigger than just boxing.
I agree. I love Muhammad Ali. I went to a Muhammad Ali fight at the Garden.
Oh, now you went to a fight!
As this memorable broadcast from the Pissgarten Olympic Auditorium in Hochstaffel, Bavaria, a blistering day in August 1932. 23, the exciting scene of the first famous sports broadcast, the Schmeling Herring Fish Fest.
I'm in the back of this great big auditorium where the great big white man and the great big black man are training a tremendous series of great big punches. Oh, and Herring's down in the sauce. The white man is down, and the German is up, and they're raining terrific blows on the black man. Now they're pummeling the gypsies and the Jews. Oh, band of brothers! And here comes the Spanish air farce. Oh, it looks like a rehearsal for the final solution. Oh, those Spanish flyboys are so sexy. Schmeling is circling, but now the referee, a feisty little fellow with a funny-looking mustache, he's stopping the fight. He's raising his right arm in a stiff salute for silence. Oh. Everyone in the hall is doing the duck. I mean, doing the same. I think they're all asking to leave the room. So it appears from Pissgarten Hall that round one goes to The Jerry's!
Man, was that exciting.
But not...
Wait. Which fight? You went to first Frazier?
Yes, but not...
Wait. You went to the first Ali Frazier fight?
Yes,
one of the greatest fights ever?
Yes.
And you hate sports?
Yes.
Oh, get out of here.
Not only that, but I love Muhammad Ali.
The one with Frank Sinatra was ringside taking pictures? And what,
yes.
And you went?
Yes.
Why'd you go?
I went with a girl who knew Frank Sinatra. Knew in its fullest sense of the word. He gave her the tickets.
Was she assisting him while he was taking pics at ringside?
She was not assisting him then, no.
All right.
But she was known to assist him. So she gave me the tickets. I really wanted to go. I loved Muhammad Ali. So
wait a minute. You love Muhammad Ali, but how did you just take him out of sports stuff?
I loved him as a political figure. I loved Muhammad Ali.
Yes, but his being head world champion gave him the platform.
That's right. But that was his problem. My interest in him, that's how
but
he got
how did
there.
He get the platform? When he...
Well, he couldn't have. So it was lucky that he was a very good fighter. However...
Good. He was great.
I believe you. I sat there like this, and a guy behind me screamed at me. You should switch seats with me. You don't deserve that seat.
You say you hate sports, but you went to one of the greatest sporting events in the history of sport.
Yes.
And you had great seats.
And yes, but also the clothes were fantastic.
Everybody was dressed, I heard.
Everyone was dressed.
I mean,
so it was, to me, like, better than any fashion show you could go to now. It was a very wonderful fashion and cultural event. Unfortunately, there was a fight in the middle of it. Someone asked me, you know, once, why did you go to that fight? And I said, I went for the clothes. And there was still a big pimp culture in New York then.
Well, I think, you know, that if it weren't for the dope, that I would have gone crazy all these years. You see, my husband, he is a pimp, and he's out all the time playing on a pimp softball team.
Yeah.
So he don't come around home much anymore.
I know. I used to be living with a shortstop. The Hustlers softball team used to play them on the side of the graveyard down Sheldon City.
That was my friend Clarence Snake.
Yeah, I was there.
Remember Clarence?
You can hardly forget a man of that talent.
I used to hump. I used to hump.
You humped the games?
I am Chuck Cheek. I used to hump those games.
God,
that was before we had sticks. We used to play just with our hands.
You used to hit the balls with your hands?
That's right. Sometimes it hit one a little hard and knock you out for the whole day.
Wow. It certainly is an opportunity to be democratic with such interesting individuals.
Yeah. Well, you're a person of the colored
persuasion,
aren't you? Yes.
Yeah, I've been persuaded since I looked in the mirror that indeed I was a colored.
You certainly do have a great sense of humor.
We're known for having larger sense of humor than our Eastern brother.
Yes. Well, black. That's, yes. Uh-huh. Do you find that you have psychological and physical addiction, that the buildup of tolerance, that you have convulsions, coma, and death when mixed with liquor or overdose?
I die every night.
That's
only to be born again.
My husband would never come home because he was always out playing softball.
You know, there were pimps all over the street. There were these pimp mobiles. You could not believe the way people would dress. And the pimps would dress these big hats and they would come in with like 12 girls behind them. Now, of course, you would never be able to do that. I'm not suggesting it was a delightful thing, but it was interesting. But I love Muhammad Ali. You know, as a figure, but I hate fighting. I hated it. I mean, I can't believe it's legal. I know, you know, people, I argue with people about this all the time, you know, and even in a Ali fight where there wasn't even that much punching because he was like such a dancer.
It was just,
You know, but I can't believe it's legal. I cannot believe that it is legal to watch human beings beat each other up as a sport. I know that people love it. I know I'm gonna yell, but you know what's illegal? Cockfighting. Cockfighting is two chickens fighting each other. We eat chickens. Okay, at least I eat chickens. I know there's some people who don't, you know. So we eat chickens, but they can't fight with each other because it's too brutal.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful, Charlie. Speaking as you do to all the chickens out there, you know, Bill Bailey out on Old Oildale Road.
I was working with chickens.
You were, huh?
I was a cock cheeser at Roosterama.
Oh, really?
I used to enrage the bantams before the big bouts.
Yeah, right. That's
not an easy thing. Ask Pedro here.
Yeah, right.
Pardon?
Pedro, you used to work down there, Rooster Rama.
Yeah, sure, man. You were the best cock.
How did you enrage those little buggers?
I used to sit on them, man.
See, man, that's hard.
I would dress up like a big egg, man, and then I would sit on them, and that freaks them out.
Those chickens are really confused.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
They get mad and angry, into the cockpit. What a fight! Hey,
That is how we used to arrange them, too.
That's a good job.
Just before the fight, T out here used to pick on them like that.
Yeah, but they outlawed that now, man. It's not allowed no more.
I know, I know.
You have to do it silently.
You have to do it on television.
Would you say a great athlete is on par with a great artist?
I would say that a great athlete is on par with a great dancer, but not a great writer.
I disagree.
I know. I'm shocked. I am flabbergasted.
I would say, for me...
The only person I've ever met who disagrees with me as much as you are my relatives.
Michael Jordan is on par with Sinatra, Michelangelo, Count Basie, Duke Ellington. He's on that level, and you can, for me.
He may be on that level in his sport. I'm not saying he isn't, I don't know. Everyone says Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player. I believe you. I'm not gonna argue with you who's the greatest basketball player.
But it's not just the great, but the man, I mean, whatever field you work at, when you go to that level, I mean, it's like the...
The person at the highest level, I agree, they're the highest level. However, you know, 40 years after he dies, no one's going to listen to a Michael Jordan record like you listen to a Duke Ellington record. I had breakfast once with Duke Ellington.
Yes?
Yes, with Charles. And...
Where was this at?
Rubens, which used to be an all-night restaurant, which used to be on 58th and 5th Avenue. Mm-hmm. And Duke Ellington is the only person I ever saw Charles Mingus defer to. Charles, when he was a young guy, played in Duke Ellington's band and was fired. And Charles was very... arrogant person. He really didn't want people to talk to him. He had a lot of contempt for most people. And the only person I ever saw him defer to was Duke Ellington. But he was so deferential to Duke Ellington that he hardly would look at him. And like Duke Ellington was like yelling at him, Charles, you know, okay, sorry, Duke. Like, it was like a completely different person. Like, what happened to Charles?
Chocolate machine involved in an eating scene. Smashing into neon lights in their stoneness, smearing their eyes on the crazy cult goddess, listening to sounds of Mingus, mellow, fantastic. My, my, they sigh.
So apparently everyone has someone like that in their lives, no matter how, you know, arrogant they may be or how great they may be. I mean, Charles, in my opinion, was a great artist, you know, but in Charles's opinion, Duke Ellington, more important.
Admire somebody's work, you absorb a certain amount of it.
It's getting to the point now where the modern contemporary composer and the guy who's supposed to be a modern jazz composer, they all come out of the same conservatories.
Exactly.
And it's very difficult to find a place to draw the line.
Well, you were certainly one of the pioneers in that.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't come out of the conservatory.
No, but you were one of the first people who wrote so-called symphonic jazz.
I had a conservatory in the Capitol Theater.
That's right, exactly.
Sit there and listen to the symphony before the picture.
Well, maybe that's really the difference between us, that you wrote symphonic jazz and I wrote jazz symphonies.
Love you,
something
man.
Like that.
You can always have Duke Ellington. Because there's a, not just a record in the sense of a vinyl record, there is a record of his work. The work is the same. It's the same
Michael Jordan doesn't continue to play basketball. He doesn't leave a permanent record. Do you watch old Michael Jordan basketball games?
You can.
I know you can. Okay? I know you may. But do you? Because isn't part of the excitement how the game ends?
Bear up thy standard, our chevron flashing bright across the gulf of compromise, standing humble on the rich field of mobile American thinking. Here in this shell, we call life...
Angels 3, Devil...
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Brazilian bees sighted off coast. Na-na-na-na-na. Man returns from outer space. Robots win 13-7. Ho ho, who cares?
Yes, but...
You already know.
But after... Is Picasso still painting? Is he still painting?
No, but the pictures that we have are the same pictures that he painted.
I don't know what you mean.
There's no element of suspense. You're not looking at the Picasso saying, how does this come out? That's not why you look at a Picasso, but isn't part of the reason you watch a basketball game is to see who wins? If you already know who wins, Michael Jordan already won, do you watch it again?
Yes.
That's my point.
You marvel, like, how did he do that?
Well, I suppose that's one way of looking at it. I used to go very often to jazz clubs when I was younger, when there were a lot of great living jazz musicians.
Right.
I probably saw every great jazz musician alive during my lifetime, numerous times.
Who's your favorite? One of your favorites?
Mingus, I would say.
Charlie Mingus?
Yes. I know him quite well.
What's the gun for?
Someone robbed me. They broke in and took everything when I moved in this first day.
Who robbed you?
Friends or enemies, I have no idea. But it had to be a friend because they went right to my jewel box. Had to be someone that knew me. And someone, not a friend, but someone close.
He once shot himself in the foot because his wife, who at that time was his girlfriend, broke up with him. So he shot himself in the foot and then walked, you know, bleeding up the stairs of her apartment to show what she'd done to him. He, like, deliberately shot himself in the foot. I was friends with Charles because his wife owned the magazine newspaper. When they used to call them underground newspapers, owned the first magazine. It was a quarterfold newspaper that I worked for when I was like 19. She owned it, and that's how I knew him.
Two, three, four.
I mean, he was very volatile. Like, really volatile. I mean, he once got mad at me, and in the middle of a set at the Vanguard, when he saw me, jumped off the bandstand, ran up the stairs, and he was fat. Like, he was not, like, an athletic guy. And, you know, I thought he was old. He was probably, like, in his late 40s. But I was a young kid. I was, like, 19. But not a good runner. And he, like, ran after me, yelling at me, all the way down 7th Avenue, till almost we got to Canal Street. And then finally, I could not run anymore. And I, like, fell into the street. And then he... By the way, he's supposed to be playing. The rest of the band is on the bandstand at the Vanguard, which is now, like, 20 blocks uptown. And I, like, fell down like this, and he fell down, and then he, like, sat down, and he looked at me and goes, want to go eat? So I pointed out to him, well, you know, you're in the middle of a set. It's like, people, like, went to see you. He was such a famous eater that to walk through Chinatown with Charles was to have... chefs come out of basements applauding.
And now for Radio Free Booze's favorite Franco-Chinese designer, Eve Ning, the bondage king.
Ni hao, mon cher.
I don't share. I'm a Republican. But what's new from the Middle Kingdom of Pain, Eve?
My two nationalities go together like S&M. In France, we make women wear painful dresses and high-heel shoes.
For industry.
In China, we force women to work in factories making those dresses and shoes.
But men hold up half the sky. How do they get in on the bondage fun?
With ties. We have a monopoly on them. Tai Chi, Taiwan.
Thailand for the ties!
You invented tie-dyeing, didn't you?
It was the Tibetans. They refused to be tied to Beijing, so they died.
You really put the ow in haute couture.
Unfortunately, my factory on the Yellow River was washed away in the floods.
That's a lot of bear whiz. But it's more than your factory that washed away. Most of China's farmland is underwater. Your fish are all dead from the pollution. What are 1.3 billion Chinese going to eat?
Confucius say, answer is in question. What will 1.3 billion Chinese eat? Chinese, we are very tasty.
Gives the term Chinese restaurant a whole new meaning.
Just like in the Great Leap Forward, we leapt into the pot by the millions.
A Maoist proposal?
Jonathan Swift's House of Sweet and Sour Comrades is opening in Beijing next week.
This endeared him to my mother.
He came to my parents' house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah?
Yes. My mother loved him. He was such a good eater. She said, that Charles, he's such a good eater. Not only did he eat so many portions, but afterward he came in the kitchen and finished the turkey.
This is Side 5. Follow in your book and repeat after me as we learn three new words in Turkish. Towel. Bath. Border.
What do you mean you cooked the turkey, Charlie?
Well, I cooked the turkey, that's all.
You put our national bird in the oven, is that correct?
Yeah, well,
and
I...
all of us had our mouth set for roast eagle with all the trimming.
Yeah, well, I...
You did a thing like that?
Well, the two birds were lying there side by side.
The turkey was for the centerpiece, Charlie. I mean...
Well, they look so much alike
we blew it now. They're all sitting down at the table out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Started on their little nut cups already. We just have to switch the birds, that's all.
Yeah, well...
Serve them turkey instead of eagle. But it's kind of scrawny looking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd stuff some old bread in it and make it look a little fatter.
You do that, okay?
Okay.
A few months ago, not this, I haven't seen this numerous times, but this particular combination of things stood out in my mind. I saw a kid riding a bike down 7th Avenue. He was with one hand texting, with the other hand eating a piece of pizza.
Pineapples, palombras, pizzas. Armenian Gardens, thanks Juggernaut, Leviathan, mix well.
This is George Tirebiter, Camden N 200R. I want to order pizza to go and no anchovies. What? Man, nobody will come up here at all.
And he was driving the bike with his elbows.
Oh.
He had his elbows on the thing, and of course he almost ran me over. Not that he noticed. That's why I noticed him. And I thought, I am a person who believes every day I have a very high chance of being killed crossing the street. This is a person who believes nothing will ever happen to him.
Yeah.
If you took away the texting and the pizza.
Nick! Nick!
Nancy, she was beautiful.
Nick!
She was soaked.
Nick, you've got to help me!
She was holding a large pizza box.
Get ready for Nick Danger in The Backwards Pizza.
Come on in, baby. No one should eat a large pizza alone.
Take your hands off my pizza, Nick. It's...
She searched for her word.
Now, where did I put that word?
Here it is. Ah, it's mine. Give me that pizza.
Nick, stop! You're eating the crust first!
Suddenly it hit me. She was right. I had everything backwards.
Backwards going! Backwards going already, where I think.
Me too, happening what's time, Mr. Doc, me help!
Bobby, unhang. Time mark isn't name my oar. Somehow this of out get will.
Mark will... What will Mark and his frightened friends do now? Plunging backward through time, pursued by a death's head moth ship and surrounded by deadly plutonium, little Bobby Bunny nears the end of his rope. Don't miss the next fantastic episode flight, his in turns time backward, oh, backward.
Cause it's the new stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut, Nick, with a zesty new sauce, plus bubbly hot mozzarella cheese baked in the outer edge of a tasty new crust. Just $9.99 for a large one topping. So deliciously different, you'll have to eat it. Backwards.
Oh, Nicky, Nick, Nick, that new stuffed crust pizza has you under some kind of spell.
No, Nancy, you still spell it P-I-Z-Z-A.
What?
Will Nick remain spellbound and eat his stuffed crust pizza crust first? Will you? Go to Pizza Hut and find out today.
Limited time offer.
I still wouldn't end the elbows using to ride the bike. If you gave me a bike and I had nothing in my hands and I had my hands on the handlebars, I would not ride a bike down 7th Avenue. I know how to ride a bike. Okay, so I wouldn't do that. You know, but all these things. And it's an astonishment to me that every day tens of thousands of people aren't slaughtered in the streets of New York. Yeah, I don't know why this happens. It is an amazing thing because there are millions of people. No, the only person looking where she's going is me.